ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। As you all know, this Sri Rangam is the most important, considered the most important place of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. The Sampradaya coming from Lakshmi, from Sri, and especially magnified and solidified in this Kali Yuga by Sri Ramanuja Acharya. And I think most of you are quite familiar with the life and pastimes of Sri Ramanuja Acharya, perhaps more so due to the TV serial that's going on. Is it? You're watching that? Ramanuja TV serial. You're not supposed to have TVs, but you can go in someone else's house and watch. Is Damodar Gauranga here? He's the producer of that, or director, or whatever it is. He's coming. Yeah. So anyway, even though you all know the story of his life, I'll speak sometime in this life. I should speak. Even of course, speaking about him could go on forever, as with all topics. Ananta Shesh couldn't reach the end of his glories. But again, he is Ananta Shesh. So, in another form, he couldn't reach the end of his glories. Now, it's not something that we want to make an argument with the followers of Ramanujacharya, Sri Vaishnavas. But actually what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give is much more appreciable, in as much as he gave love of Krishna beyond Sharanagati, Krishna's topmost instruction, ultimate instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Mame kam sharanam raja. Take full shelter in me only. That's the essence of that verse. So that is the focal point of the teachings of Sri Ramanujacharya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings begin with that. And Radhar Mahima Prema Rasha Shima Jagate Janatoke Boraja Jubate Bhavera Bhakati Shakati Hoitoka. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave entrance into the Vrindavan pastimes and the glory, the glories of the gopis, of Sri Radha, and also one reason, because Srila Prabhupada brought the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's one reason. His contribution is also, in one sense, more appreciable. Not that we're to judge, but if we are to see, then everyone has their own service, and everyone, there are various levels. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's stated, J.J. Roshe Tare Mane Sarvotam. Whichever level one is at, he's fully satisfied with that. He thinks it's the best. I don't want anything more. Just like if we are to say to Hanuman that, okay, enough of being a servant of Ram, now you can be a gopi in Vrindavan. But Hanuman will never agree. He's fully satisfied, and that is complete perfection. There's nothing lacking in him whatsoever. But still, if there is to be some analysis, then the love of the Vrajavasis for Krishna, as revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the highest attainment. Now, having said that, like I said, we don't want to go on. That may be preached among the Sri Vaishnavas in a very careful way. Generally not. We don't want, they may feel offended. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after spending some time in the house of Sri Venkata Bhatta, which that house is still there, we're scheduled to visit there altogether just after 2 days. Then after spending some time there, when the devotees living there, they had come to respect him for his extraordinary love of Krishna, then in a joking way with Shastric analysis, he discussed with Venkata Bhatta how his teachings, Chaitanya, or, well, he didn't put it like that, that my teachings are better than yours, but he brought out the point that Lakshmi herself, she performs austerities to try to come to the level or to participate in the Rasa Leela of Krishna, but she cannot. And the reason for that is that Gopir Anugate, what is it? Gopir Anugate Aishwarya Gyana Bine Vajileho Napai Brajendra Nandone. That as long as one maintains the mood of awe and reverence, then even if one worships Krishna, he can't attain Krishna in Vrindavan. So in a very tactful way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this to the attention of Venkata Bhatta. But he didn't preach it widely or openly, although it's said in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita also that he, among the many people he brought to his Sankirtan movement included the Sri, that's particularly mentioned, Sri Vaishnavas, along with many others, Tattvavadis, Buddhists, and Nyayikas, and so many others. Now, having said, we don't want to agitate the minds of these great devotees, great tradition. By saying that, we shouldn't think that Sri Ramanujacharya is something small. He's far, far greater than we can even begin to imagine. We should always remember that even though we are so fortunate to be blessed by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the grace of the Gaudiya Acharyas culminating in Srila Prabhupada, we should never think that the Vaishnava Acharyas of other sampradayas are inferior, we are superior. Such a thought we should not harbor in our minds. With all great respect, we come here, not coming to think we are superior, but we are, how fortunate we are to be able to come to this land of great devotion, this centuries of devotion here in Sri Ranga. The Lord has personally come here to this holy place, and so many great devotees have come and lived and served him here. And they're all, up to the present day, taking great inspiration from Sri Ramanujacharya. So, briefly, I'll go through his pastimes as we... that, in more detail, in more detail means we'll... Unfortunately, we don't have time here. Otherwise, it would take some days to go through even the known pastimes without elaborating on them more. So just briefly, we can see, first of all, his position. If we see the history of Kali Yuga, that people in the name of Vedic sacrifice They were unnecessarily killing animals. So Lord Buddha came to stop animal killing. People were doing it in the name of the Vedas. So instead of arguing on the basis of the Vedas, he simply said, he made the simple connection, logical connection, seemingly logical connection, that, well, if that's what the Vedas teach, then we don't accept the Vedas, because this violence to animals, how can that be good? So he stopped the evil of misuse of the Vedas just by stopping the Vedic culture, the study of the Vedas among his followers. Just like a child may have, the knife may be something very good and useful for cutting vegetables, but in the hand of the child, he doesn't know how to use it, so take it away. Don't use it at all. That doesn't mean that no one should use it, but he doesn't properly understand its usage and uses it in a bad way. So no, you don't ever touch that knife. No, stop. So like that. With the child, the intelligence is so undeveloped that he can't see the proper use of it and he'll misuse it. So for the child, just don't touch the knife. Just leave it. So people at that time, their consciousness was so deranged, polluted, that, all right, just stop. No Vedas. So he stopped the animal killing. Nindasi yagya vidher ahaha shuti jatam. Sadaya hridaya darshita pashughatam keshava dhrita buddha sharira jaya jagadishara. He's glorified by Jayadev Goswami, that he criticized the performance of yagya as described in the Vedas, being compassionate, showing compassion upon the animals who are being killed. So he stopped one evil, but by doing so he introduced another one, the neglect of the Vedas. So then Shankaracharya appeared and preached more or less a very similar philosophy to that of Buddha. But he did it under the guise of the Vedas. And this way he restored faith in the Vedas and at least superficial following of the Vedas. But then he introduced another evil by giving a wrong understanding of the Vedas. And Ramanuja was the first to take the Vedic culture and give the proper meaning, which is worship of Vishnu. That was done later also by other Vaishnava acharyas from a somewhat different perspective. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the complete or fullest understanding. Not that there's anything lacking in Ramanuja's teachings. His teachings point to Vishnu. There's nothing lacking in Vishnu. But from the standpoint of rasa, of the taste in devotional service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given that anarpita charing chirat karunya avatirno kalau samarpiyata munuto jvala rasang svabhakti shriyam hari purita sundara duti kadamba sandipita sada hridaya kandare spurutu va shachinanda. That which was not given for a very long time, since the previous day of Brahma, means not found in the Vedas, because the Vedas are being recited. Not found in the Vedas, that very highest resplendent love, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that. So Rupa Goswami blesses, may that Shachinandana, Gaura Hari, may he ever be manifest within your heart. So Shankaracharya based his philosophy on the Upanishads. Shankara didn't only contest the Buddhists, he contested also the Mimamsakas, who when we say that Buddhism, Shankara drove Buddhism out of India, but it wasn't that the Vedic culture was completely stopped. That was going on side by side. There were also Buddhists and Jains, were also anti-Vedic culture. But the Vedic culture that was going on at the time of Shankara was mostly Mimamsaka, materialistic, following the Vedas for the sake of sensual enjoyment in this life and future lives. So Shankara, he pointed to the Upanishads. People mostly followed the Vedas without not much concerned about philosophy. Mimamsakas means you do the ritual, you get the result. What do you need the philosophy for? Just like you put the petrol in the car and you get in and you put you push the button these days and you drive it. You don't need to know how it works. If something goes wrong, you call in an expert. But you don't need to know how a car works to drive it. So in the same way, the followers, you do the rituals, you say the mantras, and you go to Swarga. You know, there's no need of all this philosophy. Upanishads, forget it. It's all for useless people. That's what they said. So Shankara, he put emphasis on the Upanishads from the Vedas, and Ramanuja, he picked up on that. Ramanuja, later Madhva also, because they presented the philosophy of what we call Krishna consciousness in contrast to, or in combat to, the philosophy of Shankara, because Shankara interprets Upanishad means this, and then the Vaishnava Acharya said, no, it doesn't mean that, it means this. Tattvamasi. You are that. No, you are of that. Or you are not that. There are different ways. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in and said, anyway, what are you making such a big fuss about tattvamasi? Why are you making... That's the main point of the Vedas is pranav, omkar. Anyway, it's a highly philosophical tradition. The Upanishads are very... abstruse, difficult to understand. They're in language which is, it's not like telling some story. It's very easy to understand. There's so many. Actually, that's one thing Buddha did. He gave the philosophy of the Upanishads, of the temporality of material life and the eternality of eternality of the soul. But then he denied the soul, the suffering of the material world. All this, but it said that he said that, although we don't really know. But so many stories for the common man, they can easily understand the temporality of this material world. Just like one of the famous stories about Buddha, we can also say it. It's a useful, it's an instructive story for us also. That one woman, her son died. She became mad with distress. So she was going door to door saying, do you have medicine? My son is sick. Do you have medicine to revive him? And I was saying, what medicine? He's dead. There's no medicine. So eventually one man said, you go see the Buddha, he'll give you. So she went to see the Buddha, taking the dead body. He said, you can give medicine to revive my child. He said, yes. You have to bring me some mustard seeds. But you have to bring the mustard seeds from a house. You go to houses, and those seeds have to be collected from a house where no one has ever died. Now, nowadays people die in the hospitals, but previously... and they're always building new houses, but people live generation after generation in the same house. So then she went in the village, one house. You have mustard seeds? Yeah, of course. How many do you want? But one thing, did anyone ever die in this house? Of course, so many people, generations. She went house to house and found the same answer. Yeah, just 1 month ago someone died this birthday. Oh, then she came back. And she buried her son and came back to the Buddha and said, yeah, I got the medicine. She understood. And she became the first Buddhist nun. Anyway, she became a Buddhist nun. So it's so everyone can understand. But the Upanishads are in very such language that you can interpret this way, that way, Sanskrit grammar. Actually, Srila Prabhupada gave us Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of all the Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita as it is. But people are expert in interpreting it in various ways to get it as it is not. Anyway, Shankara, he was empowered. He's Shiva, so he's empowered to spread the mode of ignorance by taking the Vedas, which are completely pure, and covering them with wrong interpretations. So all the Vedas are meant for understanding Vishnu, Vedaischa Sarvairaham Eva Vedyaha, but Shankara managed to present the Vedas in such a way that even if you go to Vishnu, you think you have to go some more, but there is nothing more. They think Vishnu, you worship Vishnu, and then when you've done that, then you become self-realized, and that's it. Then you leave Vishnu behind. That's you can worship Vishnu, and then you merge into impersonal, absolute, whatever it is. And it's a bewildering philosophy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned, don't hear from Mayavadis. What is that? Jiva kripa koile sutra koile bias mayavadi bhasha shunle hoy sharvanash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that out of mercy for the conditioned souls, Vyas compiled the Vedanta Sutras. But if you hear the Mayavadi commentary, everything will be spoiled. It's very dangerous because it thinks, oh, nice, oh, I can become Paripurna Satchidananda, I can become the full, complete, absolute, eternal, knowledgeable, blissful. It's very enticing to the mind of the conditioned soul. Why serve God? If you can become God, but it is rascaldom. The philosophy is rascaldom. And Ramanuja was the first to systematically combat that by making his commentaries, two commentaries on Vedanta Sutras. The philosophy of the Upanishads is summarized by Vyasadeva and summarized and explicated, made clear in the Vedanta Sutras. And Shankara gave his commentary, which covers the meaning, and Ramanuja gave the proper meaning. So this is Ramanuja. He came to do this. His appearance is different opinions. It seems 1017 in the common era. That means just like we have 2016 now. So 1017 is generally accepted. That's why next year they're going to celebrate the 1,000-year celebration of Ramanuja's birth. So his father's name was Asuri Keshava. Asuri is not a bad name. Asura is a bad name. Asuri is the name of one rishi. And we'll find in Bhagavatam his name is there. And so his name was Asuri Keshava. And his mother's name was Kanti Mati. There's one devotee in Salem. I initiated that. You know that name? Kanti Mati, which is the name of Lakshmi. And he grew up in, you all know, Sri Parampara. Sri Parambadur, maybe the Nepali devotees don't know. Do you know that? Ramanuja was born in Sri Parambadur? You don't know. All the Tamil devotees know, I think. Isn't it? You all know very well. Then he grew up and he lived in the same village, and he was married at the age of 16 to Raksha Kambal. After 4 months after he was wedded, his father died. Ramanuja's father died, and Ramanuja, now as the head of the household, he decided to move to Kanchi, because Kanchi is from time immemorial a place of great learning. Very spiritual city, one of the seven moksha puris in the south. According to Shastra, there are seven moksha puris. That means if you die there, you go, you get moksha. So in the south, there's Kanchi. And it's from time immemorial famous for scholarship and temples. So that's a place to go. So he's a young man, so he wanted to enroll himself as a student to get more philosophical training. So he enrolled under Yadava Prakash, who was a famous scholar, very noted. So if you're a famous scholar in Kanchi at that time, you must have been a very good scholar. There's only one problem, that he was a follower of Shankara, which was it. Vedic scholarship at that time meant, there was no Vaishnava. There was no Vaishnava scholarship. The Shankara's philosophy was very prominent. Mimamsaka was prominent at that time. Even the Sankhya philosophy was going on. Karnad philosophy, atomism, Vaisheshika, that was going on at that time. It was still going on. There were still followers of that school. There's a book which I'm just going through the translation of, written in about 900 years ago, by one Shankaracharya, in which he gives the 18 prominent philosophies at that time. So the Vaisheshika, Yoga, the Sankhya, they were all going on at that time. But Shankara's philosophy was very prominent. Advaita Vedanta. At that time, Vedanta meant Advaita Vedanta. And still, some people promote it. Generally, still, if you say Vedanta, people think, oh, that's Shankara's philosophy. It's not his property. It doesn't belong to him at all, actually. Now we have, after Ramanuja, Vishishtadvaita. That is a philosophy of, well, it's also Advaita Vedanta, but it's Vishishta Advaita. But Shankara's philosophy is Kevala Advaita. So that was considered Vedanta Darshan at that time. There was nothing. There was no other understanding of Vedanta. So Yadava Prakash was a great scholar,
his explanations of the Vedanta Sutras based on Shankara's explanations were considered the best. Shankara gave his Sharirika Bhasha, and after Shankara, so many different schools of Mayavad came out to try to solve the various problems, the philosophical problems that come up when you try to say that all there's only oneness. There are problems with that philosophy, just like, for instance, if there's only oneness, then how do we see all the duality all around us? One major problem with that is that according to some followers of Shankara, he came again in the form of other people to teach. Well, if he came again and he's teaching that you merge into the oneness, and he came again, then he didn't merge. So he couldn't even do it himself. So he came again out of his compassion. But wait a minute, if he came again, then he's not supposed to exist anymore. He's already merged into the one. How can you come again? So there are so many problems with this. So therefore there are different schools came out. Because it's very pedantic. Pedantic means it's bookish. Very much concerned with logic and interpretation. Very dry, actually. Very dry. But they have great faith in the Vedas, but then they want to interpret it in different ways. So the Vedas, Vedas are the truth, so therefore we have to analyze this way, that way, another way to try to understand it. And then they give some explanation, some philosophy. Shankara, he gave the understanding by which we can understand the Vedas. But, there's some problem. Okay, then, what is the nature of illusion? If there's only oneness, then what is the nature of illusion? And then different philosophers will try to explain that incorrectly and all speculatively and all illogically. And then they fight with each other and give different arguments. But Yadava Prakash was most expert in giving explanations. So he was a very famous scholar. So Ramanuja, he studied under him, because when you go for Vedic study, you learn Sanskrit and grammar and Kavya and all these things. It's not that he went to him specifically to learn the Advaita Vedanta, but the basic Vedic studies are the same for everyone, whatever, you may be Smarta or Vaishnav, Tengalai, Vadagalai, but basically the first study is to learn Sanskrit with the grammar, and then you have to learn at least one Veda by heart, and there's no philosophy. And then there'll be Kavya, there's something, Meghdoot or something like this. And you study all this Raghu Vamsa something, and then there's no philosophy there. Explicitly, there's no philosophy. So you can study that from anyone. But Yadav Prakash was a very good teacher in all these things. So Ramanuja went to him, and Ramanuja was very bright. He was a late comer to studies, but he was very bright, and Yadav Prakash was very pleased with him. Naturally, a teacher becomes very pleased when a student excels, and therefore Yadav Prakash engaged Ramanuja out of affection. He engaged him in various services, common service for the disciple to the guru is to give massage. So one day Ramanuja was giving bodily massage And just before this, Yadav Prakash had taught the students some passage from the Chandogya Upanishad, which is there's a section. Tasya yata kapya sang pundarikam evam akshini. Shankara's explanation of this is comparing the eyes of Vishnu to the red buttocks of a monkey. You may have noticed there's the two kinds of monkeys common in India. One is that white monkey, and the other one is the smaller brown one. The brown one, if you see their backside, is bright red. So Shankara took this explanation like that. But so he'd given this explanation, and then because massage, generally the person who's being massaged will lie down, stomach down. So as he was massaging, then the Yadav Prakash felt some hot tear fall on his back. So hot tear means there's some great distress or anger. Cool tear means tears of happiness, and hot tear means tears of anger or distress. So Yadav Prakash was surprised. I said, "What's this? You're crying? What are you crying?" And Ramanuja straightforwardly told him that this explanation you gave, that's not proper. And he explained it in a different way by explaining. So Yadav Prakash said, "Okay, what do you mean? How can you say disciple to guru? How can you say it's not proper? Then you explain it. You think yourself." And actually, Ramanuja did, in giving the splitting the Sanskrit in a different way, to give that the eyes of the Lord are like the lotus flower. So Yadav Prakash was surprised. He was surprised at the scholarship. He'd given this, and because himself, he must have been through this passage hundreds of times, but it never occurred to him like that. And also, you see, we're following our Acharya Shankara, and he was very angry with him. "Who are you to say like this to me, your teacher, and then to go against the teachings of our Acharya?" He was very angry with him, but at the same time, he understood that Ramanuja is very gifted, and that he doesn't agree with his philosophy. So Yadav Prakash much chastised him. Another time, when Satyam Jnanam Ananta Brahma, this statement from Taittiriya Upanishad, the Yadav Prakash explained that to mean that Brahman is intelligence, truth, and infinity. And Ramanuja interjected, politely we're told, that no, these are the qualities of Brahman. It's not that just some undefined truth, knowledge, infinity, but these are the attributes of Brahman. Not that Brahman is attributeless, and this satyam, jnanam, anantam, they pertain to, ultimately Ramanuja would teach, to the personality. Not that there's just truth, but there's no object of truth. Just truth. But what's true? Well, it's just truth, that's all. It's meaningless. But that's the Mayavadi's philosophy. Jnana, there's no object of, there's nothing to know, but there's knowledge. It doesn't make any sense. There are no attributes, but there's knowledge. But if there are no attributes, then what is there to be known? And by word juggling, they say, well, the knower, the known, and the knowledge, it's all, when you understand, it's all one.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Did you understand? When you become self-realized, you become the knowledge. And you no longer exist. There's only knowledge, but there's nothing to be known. There's no thing to be known. Well, that's why it's difficult to attain impersonal realization, because it doesn't make any sense at all. But it sounds attractive. Oh, you become knowledge. You become truth. You become infinity. Meanwhile, we're down here passing stool, having toothaches, and dreaming, I am truth, I am knowledge, I am infinity. So, Ramanuja, he contested that Brahman, these are attributes of Brahman. We are not. We are jivas. We are in ignorance. We are covered. The Supreme Lord is never covered by ignorance, by untruthfulness, or by limitation. The Supreme Brahman is the reservoir of all good qualities. Yet at the same time, he's superior to these qualities. He's not bound by them. Just like the sun is superior to the sunlight, being the source of it. So Yadava Prakash, he became very angry. Didn't like being corrected by this young boy. At the same time, he could understand that this Ramanuja, what he's saying, it's a valid on the basis of Vedic exegesis or study. It's a strong argument. He could appreciate that because he himself was very learned in Vedic study. He could understand it's a very strong argument. But he became very angry. And he could understand. You're going against the Arachara. That's actually a very poor argument. That you're if your argument is only that you're going against Arachara, it's not a good. You should show how it goes against and how the Acharya is correct. If you simply say, well, Prabhupada said that. You say, no, but that's wrong. No, how can you say Prabhupada's wrong? But you should be able to defend how it's right, not just, well, Prabhupada said, who are you to say that? To an outsider, you should be able to show how what Prabhupada said is right. If you say, Prabhupada's right, no, I don't agree. But it's not enough just to say, well, we say this, therefore it's right. That's blind following. One should be able to show, giving evidence from Shastra, how what our Acharyas say is correct. Otherwise, we'll simply be fanatics. Therefore, the gurus teach, so we can understand what is the actual Vedic philosophy. But Yadav Prakash, by falling back on this, oh, you're going against our guru, our Shankaracharya, that showed his own weakness, actually, if he couldn't refute it. So he said to Ramanuja, yeah, what is all this you're talking all this nonsense? You go teach, you think you're so great, you go teach someone else. You make your own school. He threw him out. So Yadava Prakash started to think, this is very dangerous. This boy is going to spoil our whole culture. Because you can remember that in those days, there was a lot of competition. We don't have that now. Modern Hinduism is some big kind of mush in what you, whatever you believe, it's all, everything's okay. I'm okay, you're okay, jato mat tato pa. Jane do, whatever you want. Let it go. Let it go on. But in those days there was a lot of competition between different schools, and the brahmanas, they would have debates. And it wasn't only on the basis of who is actually getting the truth, but there's also a lot of prestige, and the kings would reward those who are successful in debates. So there was prestige, and there's your very livelihood also. So it's very much part of the Vedic culture, and especially in a place like Kanchi, where there are many brahmanas and many theories going on. Kanchi was also a great center of Mahayana Buddhism. The Mahayana Buddhism went off to China from Kanchi. That Nagarjuna took it there. So it said, made his very influential school, Madhyamic school. So even the Buddhists, they're also not exactly fighting. So many different schools trying to explain the unexplainable. So Yadav Prakash was very concerned. And he began to think that this Ramanuja should be killed. Better he's killed for the sake of the truth, our philosophy. We have to maintain. Yadav Prakash should be shown to be, if he's defeated by his own disciple, how humiliating. Sambhavitasya chakyatir marana adati richate. For one who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So if he's such a great scholar, and some young boy comes up and he's afraid, the other Prakash, this boy is going to come up and defeat our philosophy, then all my prestige will be gone, all our tradition will be gone. So he became very afraid and he thought, let us kill Ramanuja. So we're left in suspense here, because you can do kirtan for 5 minutes. Anyway, I think you all know the story, but it's nice to tell again and again all these things. Just like everyone knows Ramayana, but still you hear again and again because it's transcendental. You don't get bored. I hope you're not getting bored. So Ramanuja began teaching, and people started to come to him. He taught in a way that was unknown at the time. It was considered a new, something completely new. Of course, Vaishnavism is not new. It's the eternal function of the living being to be an eternal servant of Krishna. Jivesurupai Krishna Nitya Das. But it was unknown at the time. Just like Srila Prabhupada brought Vaishnavism to the Western world, it was completely unknown. So this philosophy of Vaishnavism that Ramanuja taught was new. Now, of course, there had been Alavas before that, but they didn't teach systematically, philosophically on the basis of the Shruti. Ramanuja did that. So what the Alvas had given in the, what is sometimes called the Tamil Veda, all the philosophies there, but it's not systematically based on the followers of the Vedas. They consider that just to be some sentimentalism with no basis. But Ramanuja gave the same philosophy, the same teaching, but on the basis specifically, directly, predicated on the Vedas. So that was one great contribution of Ramanuja. And then he gave also system of following, daily practice for Vaishnavas. He established temples, he established system of worship. He preached and initiated so many people. He made sannyasis. Actually, at the time of Ramanuja, there were also female renunciates, but that's not going on now. His philosophy is of great import, because even though bhakti was going on among a few souls, because there was no philosophical basis to it, people didn't take it very seriously, is one thing. Another thing, that even if people come into bhakti without a proper philosophical understanding, they're going to be influenced by this Advaitavada of Shankara and all different wrong ideas. So to give the proper philosophical understanding is essential. That marks one as an acharya, a sampradaya acharya. Ramanuja was sampradaya acharya. So what are Ramanuja's teachings? They, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has stated that the Vishishtadvaita of Sri Ramanujacharya, that is the foundation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achintya Bhedabhaita. So his teachings are very similar. Not exactly the same. Hare Krishna. Not exactly the same. We may say, well, how is it not exactly the same? If it's either right or it's wrong. No. What Ramanuja teaches is completely correct. There are differences there to what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches. But the differences are difference of perspective. It's not a difference that one is right and one is wrong. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, they also, they bring the philosophy of the Vedas to the point of pure love of Krishna, which is not missing in Ramanuja's philosophy, but it's not emphasized to the extent and not developed to the extent as in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So what Ramanuja teaches is completely perfect. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches is completely perfect and more. So the whole idea of Shankara, that the jiva, individual living being, can become equal to the Supreme Brahman, is totally rejected by Ramanuja. This is atheistic philosophy, actually. Atheistic means if we accept that there is the Supreme, and we think that we can become the Supreme, then how is the Supreme Supreme? That means you're actually, indirectly, you're saying there is no Supreme Being. If we can all be Supreme, then the Supreme is not absolutely supreme. It's something like, well, theoretically, almost everyone in this room could become the chief minister of Tamil Nadu. Theoretically. When I say almost everyone, because there are Russian citizens and a Ukrainian citizen and a British citizen. So, but the Indians, any one of you, even someone from Gujarat, could become the chief minister of Tamil Nadu, theoretically. So if we think that theoretically I can attain the position of being the Supreme Brahman, then it's not an absolute, then the supremacy is not absolute. The absolute means uncontested, uncontestable, eternally. The supreme is the supreme. Matah paratharam nanyat kinjit asti dhananjaya. Nothing and no one is equal to Krishna. So that's an eternal truth. Now, if we say the truth, it's also true that the chief minister of Tamil Nadu is Jayalalitha. That's true. But it's not an eternal truth. In just a few days, there's elections coming up. So it might not be true in a month or so. But it's true now. But it's not true for all time. And her position as chief minister is very powerful, no doubt, within certain sphere. But it is infinitesimal compared to the power of the Supreme Absolute. So the idea that even for most of us here, even the idea that you become the chief minister of Tamil Nadu is laughable. You see. So what are you going to be when you grow up? I'm going to be the chief minister of Tamil Nadu. How many people live in Tamil Nadu? 60 million people, something like that, 6 crores. One at a time can be the chief minister. So it's one chance in 6 crores. It's unlikely. Not impossible. But it is impossible that we can be... The position of the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is far, 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 way, way above any material position. There's no question. It's of us attaining that position. It is foolish just to think, just like if I say that, all right, Krishna, Keshav Das, you want to be the chief minister of Tamil Nadu. Yeah, foolish. No one's going to vote for some Telugu brahmachari to become a chief minister. You can't even get any political situation. You might somehow be able to fool people and become a sarpanch or something like that. But chief minister? It's not impossible. I'm not recommending you to try for it. But it's a long shot, very unlikely. So the idea that you can become the supreme, it's difficult to imagine how absurd it is. And even if we can somehow to some extent understand how absurd it is, then it becomes more absurd that so many people think that it's true. It's crazy to think that you can become one with God. It's even more crazy that so many people actually believe that. So it's unlimited insanity multiplied by unlimited insanity. And people think this is satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma. Oh, that's me. It's just unbelievable, amazing foolishness. So Ramanuja preached against that. And it's amazing. Actually, it's a fight, philosophical fight. And people are convinced. No, it says there, satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma. They can't understand this. So amazing, it's unbelievable foolishness and rascaldom which Ramanuja stood against, using the same tools that Shankara had done. Tools means shastric interpretation to study the shastra, that is proper, but then one should give the proper meaning. Shankara misled the whole world. Ramanuja gave the proper meaning for the first time. That the jiva is not God. He's at the same time not wholly different from Him. If we say that He's wholly different from Him, then how can there be any relationship? There has to be quite some level of similarity for there to be a relationship. For instance, jackfruit trees are living beings. But human beings don't fall in love with jackfruit trees. Now, it's possible in Hinduism to get married to a jackfruit tree. Girl could be married to a jackfruit tree. It could happen. Usually a banana tree, because they don't last very long. Sometimes it happens. Can be done. You know that? A married to a banana. There's a reason, actually, because they have some dosh in their chart, and you marry them to get rid of that, and then they can be married, something like that. But you don't have a romantic relationship with a jackfruit tree, because you can like the jackfruit tree. Oh, nice, at Chaitanya Mat, there was one jackfruit tree that Keshav Maharaj, Vinod, what was his name? Vinod Bihari. He would sit under that jackfruit tree and manage the whole Chaitanya Mat sitting under that tree. People would come, you'd tell them, go there, do this and that. So it's nice jackfruit tree, nice fruit. But you can't have a relationship. It's too different. So there must be many points of sameness for there to be a relationship. But if you're completely the same, then there's no relationship. You can love yourself, but that's not actual love. Love has to have vishay and ashray. It means they're two separate beings. One is the object of love, and one is the one who loves, the one in whom there is love. So one, the vishay, the object of love, and then another person is the receptacle of that love, and reciprocally, round the other way, the one in whom there is love is also loved by the other one. So a person can be vishay and ashray, both. But Krishna is the ultimate vishay. He's the ultimate object of love. And love for Him is in others. So there has to be some sameness. But at the same time, if it's complete difference, and you can go further than a jackfruit tree, you can't fall in love with a microphone. If there's too much difference, then there's no love, there's no relationship. And if there's not enough difference, then there's also no relationship. There has to be someone else to love. You can love yourself, but that is not a relishable kind of love. Narcissism, that's called in English narcissism, where you become infatuated with yourself. But you can only be infatuated by yourself by comparing yourself to others and thinking, oh, I'm so much better. So this philosophy Ramanuja taught, and we're over time, we are not the Supreme Brahman, we are a particle. Mamaivangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are part of the Supreme, not separated in the sense that we are different, but separated, not separated in the sense that we're totally different, but we're separated in the sense that we are, in this material world, we have separated ourselves from Krishna, from His love. So by nature we are meant to be with Krishna, but separate from Krishna. Not that we become Krishna. So this basic point Ramanuja taught is a very basic point. Should be easy to understand. But due to the illusion created by Mayavad of Shankara, that people don't understand. Very powerful. Shankara is very powerful acharya. Ramanuja is more powerful. So, as a part of the whole, the duty is to serve the whole. Ramanuja gave the philosophy of the Sharia and the Shariri. He gave the example, well, this analogy, that the Supreme Brahman is like the whole body, and the living beings are like parts of the body. So the duty of the parts of the body is to serve the whole body. Just like the finger has no existence separate from the body, and the finger acts for the benefit of the whole body. It's a rough example. Sharir Shariri Bhav. He taught in this way, that we are not different, the finger is not different from the body, but it's not the whole body. So in the same way, we as living beings, we are not different from Bhagavan, but at the same time, we're different in the sense we're not full and complete in the manner that He is. We are simply part of Him and meant to serve Him. That is our constitutional position, called Vishishtadvaita. Means oneness, but with some qualification also. Qualification here in the sense of Visheshta, or a modification. Some modification is it. No, actually qualification is a better word. Anyway, something like that. So qualitatively one with the Supreme, but quantitatively different. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. So that's true, the jiva can attain the state of Satchit Ananda, but still his position of Satchit Ananda or Satyam jnanam anantam is insignificant compared to, he's infinitesimal compared to the infinite Supreme Lord. So when we say the jiva is ananta, not that he's unlimited in the same way as the Supreme Lord is, but that he also has no end, he's eternal. So we're dependent on the Supreme, we cannot become the Supreme, we are not the Supreme. Shankara says that everything is Brahman. Brahma Satyam, Brahman is truth, Jagan Mithya, this world is false. Taking also from Chandogya, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, everything is Brahman. Well, that's true, but it's true that everything is Brahman, but there is difference also. Nothing is separate. I mean, nothing is separate from the Supreme Lord. Nothing can exist without Him. Everything is His expansion. But at the same time, there's a difference between He Himself personally and everything else. So, philosophy of Shankara's, the philosophy of Shankara says, everything, it's all these varieties that we see, they're all simply illusion. Although, there are weaknesses. Why? How does this illusion come? And even if you say it's illusion, but at least it's there, you can't say it's totally unreal. So there are different philosophies to try to explain it. But they all fail because it's not true. Yes, it is real. It is true that Jayalalitha is the chief minister of Tamil Nadu. It's not an eternal truth, but you can't say it's untrue. This microphone exists. It's not eternal. It's not supreme. It's a dependent reality. Depends upon so many conditions. But we can't say it's unreal. As Shankara says, that ultimately everything is unreal. There cannot be knowledge of an unqualified subject. There is no such thing as an unqualified subject. Knowledge means knowledge of something. You can't have, even if you say knowledge of nothing, the word nothing, only the whole concept of nothing only exists because there is something. You couldn't even think of nothing unless there was something. So Ramanuja pointed this all out, that knowledge means that there must be attributes. If there are attributes, then it's not all one. It's not, there's, reality is not homogeneous. Then another thing, you've heard all these things before from Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't make it up. It's the same philosophy that the Vaishnavas have been giving from generations, beginning with Ramanuja in this Kali Yuga on this planet. The same philosophy to combat the nonsense of the Mayavad. Yeah, the idea, one idea of the Mayavad school, they say they're a different idea. But this is directly from Shankara, that illusion covers the Supreme. We are supreme, but we become covered by illusion. Then we're not supreme. Ramanuja pointed out, we're not supreme. If we're covered by illusion, then we're not supreme. Then how do you explain to somebody that it's our lila? A lila means we're kicked from body to body to body. What is this nonsense? Then illusion is greater than Brahma. How does that illusion come about if Brahman is supreme and homogeneous? Ramanuja pointed this all out, and he got followers because it makes sense. Not only does it make sense, but the Mayavad doesn't appeal to the soul. It appeals to the inflated false ego, but it doesn't appeal to the soul. So, Ramanuja taught that we are all eternally individual living beings. The Supreme is eternally the Supreme. Narayana is eternally the Supreme. But due to the very fact that we are infinitesimal, we are not the Supreme. Therefore, we have the tendency to become covered by illusion. So in this way he explained very well how illusion comes about. What is the nature of illusion? Illusion means to forget our relationship with the Supreme Lord. Whereas the Shankarites, they have no actual explanation of all these things. Okay, I'll finish there for now. In the middle. And Krishna willing, we can continue later, because we'll stick to the schedule. Okay? Hare Krishna! Thank you all for giving me the opportunity to speak. It feels very purifying to speak about these great personalities, Ramanuja. By his mercy, we're able to come here and speak these things.